Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside with Soccer Text with AK. It's your boy Dalu. We have AK here and Sobe as well. How's your weekends been, guys?
Hate watch wasn't good for me, man. All my hate watch I tried to do this weekend didn't flow at all, man. Arsenal won. United is doing 3-2. City. Oh, God, City. Oh, man. I don't know, man. Montada this weekend, so I'm happy.
I feel like hate actually drives football more. I asked this guy how your weekend did. The first thing that the fact say hate watch.
Feels, hate watch, like, yeah.
Yeah. right now, what will make everybody happy right now is what everybody wants. You understand? And that is that noise pollution that will happen. Let's just stop it now. So, whatever will kill your joy will make me happy. So, you know they say in diplomacy, they be like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You understand? So, that's where I'm at right now, man. But, I mean, I had a good game. I had a good second half game. A good remontada. You know, good for the squad. So, at least that will calm me down a little bit.
So, what about you?
My hit watch did not go very well. I was hit watching Bruno Fernandes, 2 assists. So I have to accept that, you know. Although the City hit watch went well, because I'm also low-key rooting for Arsenal this season as well. So I knew they would go there and struggle. Well, so to see 2-2, I was like, you know what, we'll take a 50-50.
My hate watching today was just everything just going under the table. Solanke scored. I was like, okay, small happiness. Everything was just there.
What's our name about that game, bro? It was 2-0, first half. Even if you guys watching it through Peacock, Grimley So and Miss Emily Dixon, they were like, oh, this is like a 4-5-0 kind of game. It's men against boys. I mean, I would believe them. Second half, I was just in my sofa dozing. Like, I don't know. I just literally opened my eye. Like, you know, when I just open. You know, when that sleep is like trying to clean the sleep off. I was seeing two. I was seeing another song. Ah. I don't even blow up.
Seeing double.
The first blow.
Like, maybe that second two, that actually see two. Maybe I don't see double.
Bro, I couldn't believe it, man. But yeah.
That first half. So, you know what you be saying about Premier League? What all of us be saying about the intensity, how there is no space, how everybody's physical, blah, blah, blah. I saw none of that in that first half of Tottenham versus City. That game looked like, literally, like you said, men against boys. So much space, no, barely any pressing at all. Whenever they tackled, it was a foul. That referee was actually low-key pitying them. Like, he wasn't blowing all the fouls like he was blowing that first half because...
Yeah,
Tottenham are just way off the pace. Such a terrible display. Like, I actually lost hope. I was like, should I just turn on TV? Or should I just enjoy this match and just as a good pleasure, just enjoy Cherokee and all his dribbling and everything. And just forget about the hate watch because it was that bad. It was that bad. I don't know what first of all, his tactics were wrong, but also the way the players were, like, you know, the players played terribly despite the tactics. I think the back five was a bad way to go because they seemed not to understand how to press with three centre backs. They kept giving the attackers so much time on the ball. So I think Thomas Frank got his tactics wrong in the first half. But I also feel like I also blame the players for not conducting themselves well either. Because there are some things that as a player you should normally do. At least show some intensity. Did not do none of that. So whatever he did in the dressing room during the break clearly worked. First of all, they came out in the back four, which was better. But the players at least showed more passion and desire to win. After that first half, I actually believe that. I still believe in all these rumors about Tottenham actually wanting City to win. The fans were not cheering, but that's also probably because the players were playing terribly. But the players were not showing desire in that first half. But second half, they set that straight and came out well and everything. Before they scored, they were clearly getting more chances. The momentum has swung to their favor. Well, yeah, I'm glad. Great goal by Solanke. Reminded me of Giroud's own bicycle kick. Scorpion kick, I mean.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. But I screamed. I screamed, man. That was a beautiful goal. 2-2. I was happy. But yeah, those are my own thoughts from the game. What about you guys?
For me, the thing about that game, what actually stunned me was Donnarumma making a complete pass. If you imagine the 35th or 37 minutes, I'm like, yeah, Donnarumma.
Yo, the long pass.
Bro, that pass. That's like, okay, yeah, these guys are actually bad. Like, it's not, you know when, like, it's not as if you're that good, but bro, you where you're playing is just bad. Mm. Like, they were just picking spaces in the midfield, like at the point they were, like, strolling, like, okay, what do they do? Tap. Like, yeah. It was just too easy for them, man. You understand? Like, I don't understand. When coaches play three at the back, the goal is to, like, you know, be tight at the back. Like, yeah. You know, because he played, and this was that Dragosin guy, he's just going to be an actor. The yeah. Next game of truth, just go and join them.
Disaster class.
Bro, I have 4.75 in my life. I've not seen half since I have 4.75 in my life.
It was terrible.
His stats is red. I've seen blue, green, yellow. His own is red. Who has red? Why would they give you red? That's like them giving you attendance for coming to school. Like, 30 over 100 just for attendance. That was how bad it was, man. Like, for real. Like you said earlier, Thomas Frank, that is a really bad. Playing three at the back. Having Bissouma is thinking that first half, man. It was just making the midfield so open for them. Mm-hmm. I'm just seeing Bernardo dropping deep, going to the side in the middle, just having a field day that first half. And I just feel like that's why we always tell people, listen, man, coaches, when they say coaches went to school, all those B license, it's not beans, bro. For him to go to the dressing room and tweak it and come back, you brought in Papissa to add more energy in the midfield. And it worked for them. Like, that's what Barca appreciates coaches actually think. You understand? So, good one for Tottenham. At least there was a rumor that, they're not playing for Thomas Frank. They feel like his tactics are too, like, rigid and too hard on them. But at least that second half performance, like, you know, died down the rumors. As of first half, they were so bad to the pressure by the day. I think half of the fans left in first half because they're like, this is going to be a whitewash, obviously. You understand? But I don't know, man. Pep, I don't know what's up. I think the real question is not about Spurs. It's about Pep. It's like, because I was listening to one, was it like the Leeds United Arsenal conference? And then Arteta was like, I sit talk to Pep, we're cool. I'm like, is it like an agreement's going on? I don't know. Like, is it like, okay, win this one? So think about this, man. If Tottenham were that bad, two goal lead. You can't just get let like you know this Premier League. Pep has the experience, and you should know this by now. That if you're a 2-goal lead, that going for the title, just kill the game. Why do you let them come back? So I feel like at this point, Pep and Arteta, they've already discussed agreement, discussed business. You win Premier League, I win this one, you win that one. Is that in? You know that style, yendiba. That's what I mean, I swear.
But when you say kill the game, what do you mean kill the game? Because what could they do? You mean go for a 10
No, because you can't tell me Pep or other people just die like that second half. I think it's weird. They need to do investigation, VAR or whatever they call it. For real, man. They try to the charges. City charges that they have right now, 140 and 141. Them drawing this game to be added to 142 charges, man. Yes. But that's my take on this, man. For real.
What about you, Toby?
I mean, I agree. I agree with a lot of what Akan said, honestly. I still feel like this Tottenham, the players are so weird to judge. It almost feels like they are really uninterested in what's happening in the Premier League. Because if you look at the Champions League, it's a totally different story. Because a lot of the energy they play with, it's almost like it's very hard to gauge. And then impressive for them, too, this game coming back, because they are really bad at home. In the Premier League. So they came out again with their usual lackadaisicalness, lack of interest.
Lethargic,
just, you know. And then the second half, I think that own goal kind of, I won't say it gave them motivation to go, but I don't know, when you're playing a game, man, and you're losing, but then you just score that one goal. From what, it just gingers you.
And just, that's true.
You just make something happen. Even if the other team itself doesn't want to, obviously doesn't want to concede, that's just the way the game is going to flow now. And then, like I said, which is why, I agree with Akan when he said, what's up with Pep? Me, I think Pep, because what he went through last year, almost losing his entire family. I think the guy really understands he needs to leave the game.
Nah, because if you think about it.
He needs to pick his wife. He needs to pick his wife over the game.
It doesn't make any sense. Because
he doesn't look interested.
It doesn't make any sense. They backed him up this season. And he still, like, it doesn't make any sense, man. Just, in fact, sorry for cutting you off, man. Just want to add up, like, that just shows the beauty of the Premier League, man. This weekend, I just proven why the Premier League is the best thing in the world. Like, 2 goals now is like a threat. Like, you've already scored 2 goals. Like, I say, don't make a mistake. Like, you understand? Like, 2 goals now, if you're not careful, you will lose that game. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was saying just awful.
Saying to me earlier before the pod started, actually, like this, I was kind of complaining about how boring the Premier League has been for a minute now. But this weekend, kind of like, it was like hell notch that we are still Premier League.
It's still Premier League.
Probably the most entertaining weekend we've had in a minute now.
Yeah,
entertaining weekend had in a minute now. But like, I mean, I agree with you guys. Pep has not been the Pep we know since last season. But I mean, clearly, he still shows emotion when he's crashing his phone on the floor. He's still showing that he wants to win it. He's not happy that they're conceding. He almost lost it for a second in the touchline when that first goal they gave, the one that was supposed to be a foul. Bro almost fired that referee for this thing.
Yeah, I know he got a card. Yeah,
I agree with him though. That should not been the goal. I think it was a foul. he clearly kicked through the Gehi. But regardless though, I still think it's still hard to call. It's just 6 points, guys.
It's interesting because, like, I think one of the major differences I've noticed with Pep is that he just doesn't seem concerned with every facet of the game anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I think buying Doku was kind of like the first sign that now it was basically, I will get a guy that can just break your team down. Instead of worrying, like, how can I use this space to get this guy open? How can I play on this side and get free that guy on the other side? Types of guys he's going for, the Mamushi, the Semenyos, it doesn't feel like they make sense in terms of like what Pep would like to do, but more, these guys can get us a goal if we need a goal. So I feel like that Pep has kind of, the obsession with how the entire game goes, I don't think he has that fire anymore.
You know what I think
it is?
I agree with you 100%. I think there's that shift from his obsession with every detail and winning the right way and enjoying the tactics and enjoying the football. He has gone more towards like quick solutions. Like, you know what? I need goals. I'll get Haaland. You know what? As opposed to maybe tweaking, playing Lam from right back to midfield or doing some of his crazy overthinking on tactics, whatever. He's now going very straightforward. Haaland, Donnarumma, a great big shot stopper that was stopping him conceding goals.
Yeah, that was a big deal signing as well. That's a very non-Pep guy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's so...
Yeah, that's a non-Pep guy. Yeah, because
Hearts couldn't play out from the back. Facts. And then he goes and gets Donnarumma, who can't play out from the back, and just a great short stopper. Mm-hmm. So...
Even Doku. Doku.
Yeah. Like a guy, even Doku is like, that's not a Pep signing.
Lose the ball a lot, but he can dribble. Like,
well, he can dribble. He can really break down a low block if you need it. So it's like, I feel like... What happened with him and his family last year, I think, took a real toll on him. And I really feel like his wife gave him an ultimatum. And it feels like contractually, he still has to fulfill, obviously, contractual obligations to Man City.
Yeah.
But I really feel like after this season, I think he'll walk away.
I think so. So I think Enzo Maresca will probably get the job. I have a feeling. This sounds so vain and so so primary school-ish to say, but probably Klopp leaving. Probably I just killed the incentive and the ginger and the spark from Pep. Because think about
it. She's lover.
From the German days when it was Bayern Munich, Dortmund, Pep and Klopp, you know, Pep felt like, oh, my after I'm smart, he's going to beat this guy. You understand? Klopp was coming with his own new style of, is it actually a new style, but a reinvented style of football, gang press, metal football. Pep was with the, you know, we have to be more, you know, systematic with the ball, build up, play. So we're going, my own principle, but not our principle. But it was like, what they call it, was a positive, healthy rivalry. And I feel like probably that opened up all the neurons and the brain sensors of Pep in terms of when it comes to football. Then they took it to England again. In England, you understand, Pep had the money, Klopp had the men that would fight and die for him. And even they were like reinventing themselves. This fullback inverting, it was Pep that brought it. It was every season reinvent himself, trying to like, you know, trying to find a way to Klopp. But I feel like now that Klopp has gone, his bestie has gone, it's like he's disrespecting. I'll catch up with him. And my boy, I teach and work. Who be that guy? Slot. So I feel like that's why I said it sounds so vain and so primary schoolish. Could that be? I don't know. Because like you just said earlier, Pep obsession to the game itself on certain positions, like the way, like you can just tell
you can tell there's a drop. You can definitely tell there's a drop.
Because a Pep team having control of the game in the first half, Sunil, they should not, you should not score them back. If that's a clear, easy, on paper, 5-0 end of the game, if they're just being fair. You understand? Yeah, this is the same Pep that will finish up game first half 4-0 in less than 25 minutes. He did it. He has done it. I just feel like maybe that, obviously, he's a professional, he wants to win, but, you know, going against like your rival, like, you know, like the Ronaldo Messi thing is no longer there again. You feel me? Yeah, that's for me. That's just the little primary school idea that was entered my head now.
That's fair.
Anyway, this Thomas Frank's team is this first half, second half. That just gave me shades of Antonio Conte, but they were such a second half team when he was coaching Spurs as well. Same thing, looking very terrible in the first half and becoming very good in the second half all of a sudden. But yeah, besides, shout out to Cherki, amazing game before.
Yeah, what a footballer, man! What a footballer!
Entertainer.
My thing with Cherki is a very skillful player. I won't take it from him. The last season at the Ligue 1, he was the best dribbler, and Hazard gave him the award. He has that, but I just feel like playing with a team. I don't know, man. I don't think he is. Listen, the goals are start to speak for itself. But me personally, when it comes to comparing tens, who would I pick for my 10? I won't pick Cherki, bro. I'm saying. Palmer, I'm not being biased. Me saying Bruno, I like Bruno, but I'm not being biased. I'm just saying as a team collectively, I want to win. We like Poirier and Cherki as my 10. Me personally, I would say no. But is he a good player? Yes, he is.
I think Cherki really falls into that Ozil, Mata, old school bucket. And there's no place for a guy like that in football today.
I mean, like, yeah, he can't even
like
pass.
He can definitely pass, but like
compared to them Ozil Mata. I mean them Ozil Mata level. I've not seen given any killer passes though. I haven't seen. Does he have the trickery and the magic? Yes, it does. But that, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I guess
the passing couldn't save Ozil and Mata from. You have to be, even for me, I would not play a game with a 10 that isn't Messi. Like that would be the only exception.
Yeah.
You have to run. You have to run.
In the Premier League, you have to run. Yeah,
and the Premier League especially. Like, the intensity is so insane. You can't survive.
Especially for a top-level Premier League team. That's my issue with Eze. Like, with playing Crystal Palace as opposed to playing to Arsenal now. Because we need to dominate. So we can't have you just floating there and expect to finish actions. You have to be part of us, like, out of possession as well. But anyway, let's move on to the next game. Man U versus Fulham. That was another crazy game. Honestly, I'll give United one props in the sense that like they are way more entertaining and their confidence level is off the charts at this point. I feel like Mike will give them some kind of level of swagger.
Especially he definitely does. That's my boy. That's my boy right there.
Midfield, he gives them some level of swagger. Like they are so goddamn confident. Even defensively. They look shaky at times. They still lose concentration. They still go through ups and downs instead of concentration. But you can tell there's still something there. There's still something there now, as opposed to before. There's just confidence all through the team. There's just confidence. Fulham tried, because you can't say that United completely outplayed Fulham. They kept trying. They kept having in the first half and second half. It will be Chukwueze kept trying to do something. You know, I like his confidence too. I like him, the fact that he tries to take the game at the blow of the horn. And you keep trying things. And eventually they got their reward by equalizing, even though United's quality just told at the end. They have superior quality because Lamens made a lot of great saves. I also think he's been a good buy. He gives the defense some level of confidence to just, you know, operate and do what they need to do. But Casemiro was a baller today. He played really, 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 really well. Bruno also did his thing in front. Sensko came in and also had his own say, banger of a goal. And he's giving them, being a target man. He played his role pretty well. But Cunha is on form. Probably one of the most informed players in the league right now. Like, Baba will try anything. It's hard to keep him quiet through games now. We need him to calm down because he's going crazy. Same as Bruno, same thing. Anyway, shout out to Man U. I was hate watching, can't lie, but I bet. Yeah, y'all got it. Right now, I don't know why Man U fans are praying for Man City to win. I'm like, you guys are actually just 6 points behind them. Like, City, if City is still in the league title, then Man U can also be, because These players ain't that crazy.
Me too now. I can also be looked
at. Calm down.
People should stop
from there. Calm down.
Just now. So what's your teams? Your teams can win the league.
So the 1 point. That 1 point is $1 million.
From there, calm down.
I'm not saying City and Man, there's not that much difference.
They make noise from basement too. Calm down. Calm down.
Guy, you guys need to dream big. Dream big, man. Support your teams. You know?
That's what I'm asking. Before I even talk about this United game, bro, I don't know if you're done. Are you done, Chidi?
I'm done, yeah.
Bro, I don't know if it sounds controversial, but this is why Barca will not get a big club. This game is why Barca will not get a big club. Is he a good defender? Yes. But he needs to improve. For crying out loud. See the way Bruno beats him? Go and check most of the goals that Fulham conceded where Barca is at fault. It's always those kind of, like, why are they always turning you every time? Like, I don't understand, man. Listen, does he have what it takes to be the next Maldini? Yes, he does. He's young, he's strong, he's fast. You know what I'm saying? He's not scared of making tackles, but you see this the technical side of defending. Like, I'm not a defender, but I don't play. The best I play is pickups once in a while outside the football. But as that boy is coming, it's going to turn you. Like, obviously, it's going to turn you. You should see this coming. It was that turn that was the goal. It was that turn that was the goal. If you have blocked that turn, it's made 2-2 draw. And this is why you understand. I don't know, man, but credit to Chukwueze, first of all, for staying to play. I know he lost his mom. RIP to his mom and prayers to him and his family. But for him staying to play for the team, that's huge mental strength right there. You know what I'm saying? And this is why I say any credit to Bay you give United right now, you must give Chelsea. Because the secret to carry No. The secret to carry success is The secret to Carrick's success is Steve Holland. And Steve Holland was one-time assistant coach for Chelsea for, like, I think 5, 6, 7 years. So everything good is Steve Holland. From there, he went to England. Then you guys brought him back. So in every United success this season, give me some. So that 1 point, just give him back. Make I just stop you. Now what do you do now?
I gave you Ellie now. Didn't I thank you for taking Garnacho? I thank you. I said, you guys really look out for us. Really, really look out for us. I appreciate that.
You know what I mean? It's like that for me with Sophia act as Kama. That old classic movie. Now this is what I do for me for there. It just runs the streets. But we'll touch that one later, Sha. But my own is just that shout out to Carrick and the staff, because you know sometimes being simple and being the tactics is there, but sometimes keep it a little bit simple with it. Because these guys are top professionals. You will not tell Bruno Fernandes how to pass. You won't tell Bruno how to position himself. Just play Bruno at his 10. Play give these players are good players. Like this is what you get when you boost your players. Mino, like someone said, someone thought Mino was a mid player. But no, he's not. Someone that was starting for England in the Euros finals. That's not mid. Had a good account of himself. So shout out to Carrick and his staff for, like, you know, for boosting the belief in these players, letting them play. And back to the old school United of the, you know, the counter-attack. Fergie time now is at Old Trafford. You understand? Like, you know, good things for United. You understand? But this is what it is. Like, don't overcomplicate issues with some certain teams. But this is United. Don't. Just let them play their football. Yes, tactics here and there. But sometimes let these guys play their football. And yeah, shout out to them, man.
I actually have a question before you go to be. I agree that Carrick keeps keeping everything simple. You can see he's not really trying to overcomplicate anything, just like 4-3-3, straight up. But could we attribute their recent high to like new manager bounce? Because it actually reminds me of Ole on the Wheel.
Nah.
Also, because it does remind me a lot of Ole on the Wheel. They had a similar type of start. Also, I kind of wanted to see how Fulham would play. The reason I did not really agree with you and Ope in the last pod where he said this might be a good time to play them, because I also thought about it. Wait, Fulham is not going to sit back. He's not going to let them actually take play. Mm-hmm. Fulham is going to play them the same way Arsenal has to play them.
He doesn't sit back here, but Simba will not sit back.
They actually came for them. And low-key, you could say that actually played into United's hand a little bit. And I mean, Fulham could have also got some joy, but maybe they might have a better served maybe hitting United on the counter. But I mean, we never know. So, I mean,
I don't think a new manager bounced him because if you notice, he has took something under Amorim. Under Amorim, the lightning side or the bright side of United was that right side with Ahmad and Bremo. If you can close that, if you can close that right side, you pretty much have a way to beat that United team. But I think what he's doing now, like I said, is kept it simple. It's revitalized Casemiro, and I mean, I feel the board should look into that contract. If like extended 1 year, I don't know because. They, you know, this is Casemiro that we used to know. He's playing with more experience. I mean, less. It's not the Real Madrid Casemiro, but we're seeing his experience now when he plays. You understand? And him playing with Mino, playing that three midfield again. Casemiro, Mino, and Bruno. Now that counter attacking, you know, United flow is we're seeing it now. So I feel like I don't think it's really manager, but I just feel like it's just. It's a United tranche, so you understand what it means to coach United. So that's what I'm on down to. Will it be a long run success at United? That's for Toby to answer, not me. But what I'm saying is I don't think it's new manager, but I just think it's him and his coaching staff just found a simple way, decent basic way to just win matches. And that's what United needs right now.
All right. So what about you, Toby? What do you think?
The game itself, I wasn't surprised that it went that way. Simply because I've seen a lot of games like that where they feel like they have gotten into an early lead, scored a game. Now it's about managing the game. And then you lose concentration, they score one or a penalty. You lose concentration, they score two. So I saw a lot of games like that under Amorim as well. You go back to the Burnley game. You go to the Brighton game. You go to even the West Ham game when we took the lead. And it just felt like we let teams back into the game. So that is one thing I do feel is very much player-centered issue. The players we have cannot simply lock in for a full 90 minutes. Now, I don't have anything against Michael Carrick, honestly. Like, I don't care what he does, because in my head, I don't think that Carrick would be good enough to take me where I really want us to go, which is, all right, over the next 5 years, can I say we're challenging for the league, we're challenging for Europe, we're challenging for multiple cups. On, you know, I don't think he's good enough to do that, but he's not my issue. My issue is that if United do that thing of signing him, it would be a reactive decision. It wouldn't be a proactive decision. It would be, oh, he's winning and he had a good enough run. Let's just give him a job and see what he does. That doesn't sound like a board that has a plan. So I think that's one thing I'm worried about. But on the other hand, too, about United that are playing right now is not surprising to me. I think I'm surprised that we ended up going and beating Arsenal. I was very surprised that we actually ended up doing that. But again, let's look at the three goals that we scored. So Mendy mistake, Dogu screamer, Cunha screamer. And Cunha has been a guy that will shoot from anywhere. And this is one of the times that the XG just happened to pay off. The same with his goal today. United still have a sustainable way of playing. They have a way of playing that makes the players comfortable in this system that they are playing right now, which is that 4-3-3. But ask yourself, what really is the ceiling if you just let the players play how they want to play or boost your players? You think this is still a team that can go and challenge for the league? It's not. So I still don't, and especially when you keep hearing about some of the way we get talked about, reminds me of United of old. Carrick said that he brought Dimitar Berbatov to come and talk to Sesko. How many times have I heard something like that before? How many times have I seen United go into this particular lane? And that's why I'm so against this United DNA. I just want to just do something else. Because we're always going to be chasing that high. We are not that team anymore. And that's okay. And then when it comes to Bruno, listen, like Akan said, all the players are good players. I genuinely believe that as well. But there is nothing sustainable about having a guy be your entire attack. There is nothing so that the only way Bruno Fernandes can matter in a game is if the game runs through him. There is nothing sustainable about that type of play. When United don't have him, even though it's not been a lot because he's always been healthy, they look like they don't know what to do. That's not sustainable. And then Bruno himself cannot play if the team doesn't depend on him. Like, I don't know if you watch Bruno play when he's not the one giving it. It's just, he looks very much out of it. So, And then you ask yourself, all right, cool. Because I think Barcelona got like that with Messi at the point. But then Messi, we were still winning leagues. We were going deep in the Champions League. So you could always, and he was obviously, and he was the best player we've ever seen in our lives. So there's that caveat. Bruno is not that. Bruno, as our best player, where has that been? What was the ceiling of that? FA Cup one time, Carabao Cup one time. I think he finished second one time. But it was one of those circles where it was like, we're the best of the worst in the league. Because the first position ran away with it. So, the Pogba and Kuhn, like, so when you ask yourself, it's like, yeah, fine, we won three in a row now. Cool. But what are you really chasing here? Do you just want to just be able to tweet, ah, we won three in a row. I am Raymond, fine again. You know, I feel like I've gone through that cycle before. I went through it with Ten Hag. I went through it with Van Gaal. I went through it with Mourinho, with Ole. I've seen all of that before. But in order to be, like I said on the group chat, in order to be like Arsenal, in order to be like Klopp's Liverpool, in order to be like City's Pep, they all have a way of playing. It's a way of playing. It's familiarity with the staff, with the players. We've all been together for such a long time. That continuity is important. And then it's not even necessarily about who has the best system. It is who knows their system the most.
That's a good point.
Like, I was watching 1819 Liverpool versus Man City. Like, you know, forget that Man City system was still peak. That team itself was so stacked. And yet they will be in a dogfight with the Liverpool team that is just that comprised of a midfield of Wijnaldum, Milner, and Henderson. And then an absolute dogfight every single time. So it's not even necessarily about this. Whatever type 4-3-3 can work, I'm fine with that. 3-4-3 can work, I'm fine with that. It is how well do these guys know that system to the ground? And in order to get that, that's why you had Pep staying. Pep has been at Messi for what, 9 years?
I think 9 years.
Klopp has been for seven.
Yeah,
and Klopp, I thought that's probably going to be. I thought that's 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And then you go hire a guy, you tell him to come here, he will have say, and you sack him in 2.5 seasons. What are you really looking for? Like, it's not even about Amorim. Can you just pick something and stick with it? Do everything you can to get. Like, all this, we're living the temporary pain of, like, being horrible right now. It's okay to suck. It's okay to be really, really bad. Because you know what? 2 to 3 years from now, when we've gone through this valley, will be really, really good because we trusted that process. United will never get relegated. They don't have to worry about that. So why can't you just trust? It's not about me. Just pick somebody, weather that storm, and just trust it. That's just what I want, man.
What about the school of thought that says, like, you still have to give the ball a reason to keep you? Like, in the sense of, like, maybe don't lose to a Grimsby and don't finish 15th.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. And again, that's also why I wasn't too mad at the board, because I felt like they didn't really sack Amorim because of results. They sacked him because there's definitely a disagreement between Wilcox and Amorim on how to play. Mm-hmm. And again, I think Ratcliffe had to pick between Wilcox and Amorim. And I guess Amorim was easier to let go because, again, 33% win rate. That's fine. You see that. But again, one of the reasons why I liked Ineos was that it felt like they were not about winning or losing. Like Ratcliffe said in that interview, Amorim has to prove he's a good coach over 3 years. So yeah, cool. We lost to Grimsby. We lost to this thing. Yeah, but we beat Liverpool. So it's like there were a lot of ups and downs to really see who we really were. But it felt like, I felt the board were ready to be like, we can suck for right now, but let's see what we do over the next 3 years. You know, so that's why I'm not too mad, because I know they let him go because it wasn't because of the result. It was because they just couldn't. It was quite clear that they were not, everybody was not in tune.
I mean, I just to add to that real quick, please. I get what you're saying, Toby. I just want to add to that. I just feel like, and I get where you're coming from as a concerned fan. You know, you want your team to, like, you know, to have that. You want to go to that stable Fergie era of, you know, we're going for the title, no matter what comes with us, we're going for the title. But I just feel like because of that, United, Chelsea, we're like cultural teams now, whereby what we're always known for, going for the title. I don't think we're a team, we're a process team. We're not a team that we're like, you know, let's suffer for now. I don't think United, Chelsea are those kind of teams that are like, let's suffer for now. Let's, trust me, when Pep leaves City and they want to do a rebuilding, they'll trust the process with whoever they bring in, with Maresca. Trust me, bro. But when you see teams like United, Chelsea, bro, that they have this raw core, you know, culture behind them that just we just want to just win. And if you notice what Carrick is doing now, I don't think he's even coaching these guys that crazy. If at least I know mine has come out to say, listen, we're not doing any tactical coaching on the pitch, we're having more meetings. He has said this clearly, like clear and concise. I feel like
I agree with you for Chelsea, but
not United.
Because those are United, the reason they are struggling is because they are not really like Chelsea. Because if you think about it, their best manager of all time was Fergie, who came in, suffered, went through the process, 3 years, not winning the league, almost getting sacked, coming 13th, and they still gave him time and ended up winning the league. So it looks like post-Fergie, they moved away from that heritage and started doing that chopping and changing. And that's probably why they are suffering right now, which is why I understand why people like to be able, like, why not go back to what we used to be? Give him that time and let him build like we gave Fergie. Because ever since we moved away from that, Moyes, everything, I feel like the only clubs that can do that kind of chopping and changing are clubs that, like Chelsea.
Chelsea, we're used to that, yeah. We're used to that, yeah. We thrive on that, yeah.
I just want to win, you know what I'm saying? But Liverpool, United, Arsenal, I mean, heritage-wise, they've been known for slow building and whatnot, and whatever that gets you.
But
Don't
you feel like, even like in life in general, that for the most part, stability always wins out in the end?
True.
Like, I don't know if you get, like, I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense, but like I said, you can't cheat the process. Like, if you really are really bad at something, you have to go through the painstaking times of trying to build that foundation back again. And then you can start going. Because progress isn't linear. It's very much up and down. You don't just be like, okay, now we're going to keep going up. And it feels like, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like,
I think before financial fair play, it would have worked. Because even Chelsea are going towards stability now. Maybe during Abramovich's time, they didn't have financial fair play. So they could just buy the league.
They could just buy the league, yeah.
But now it can't work. That's why they are trying to, even Chelsea fans are trying to have more stability. Because what works then can't work now. Madrid will do something about it very, very soon. But anyway, do you guys have any more takes on that before we move on?
No, I'm good.
Do I have any more takes on that? I think Carrick is in for is going to be in for a very hard time at United, because there will come a point this team will hit that ceiling, and now he's going to have to coach, and people will see the limitations of this team. But I just hope that when that happens, people don't blame Carrick. It's really not him. All of the players that we have.
You got this image, you got Bookmarkham, you got Sivam. This image I just talked now, bro. It's a revelation.
I'm like, remember when this team starts showing you their true colors, remember that Carrick is not the reason for it. The core of this team needs to be changed. That is Bruno, that is Dalot, that is Shaw, that is Maguire, and also Casemiro. Like, I don't think they bring it that level of seriousness every single day. So that's I think that when it gets really hard, people should really remember who's really the problem here.
That's fair. Anyway, let's move on to Liverpool's game. That game, for me, Salah, Liverpool won, don't get me wrong. But I have a lot of Well, we'll start with first of all, it's that's one player that whenever I watch, I just feel very, very sad. I feel very, very sad because I'm like, bro, this is just this could have been our second Henry, man. Like, why? I beg your career is no vexo, but why? Like, he's so cool. He's so cool, he's so calm. Like, he has the tech, he has the unpredictability. Like, despite that he missed, of course, that comes with the whole baggage. But he's such a good striker. He's the kind of striker I would have liked to see in my club, honestly speaking.
He really does have that hungry attitude, man.
He does.
He does. So infectious.
The boy can play.
I know we all predicted, I know, AK, you predicted that Liverpool will destroy them. This guy keeps the group and say, we are wrong. I'm like, no, nigga, we are wrong. I said Liverpool will win 3-2. And I was like, yo, remember 6-0 Karabakh? They were like, I can't even pronounce Karabakh. And I was like, all right, fair. like Newcastle, though, they have a very bad point away from. But anyway, that aside, Newcastle actually stayed very, very well. I was like, oh, they came actually be onto something, because the way they started, Liverpool's defense looked disorganized. Harvey Barnes got a couple of chances. He hit the bar before Ekitike came and did Ekitike things. And the game just turned upside down. Liverpool started coming for them. All of a sudden, Konate just looked like Beckenbauer. About would just carry ball and just make one body movement. The attacker would just come out. I'm like, is this Ekitike? Konate? Okay. Was looking Ibu. Very composed. Van Dijk was, looked more stable. Even
yeah.
Wait, I want to ask you guys something, though. And I'm sorry to take the conversation away from what we're doing. But do we all believe that Van Dijk is the best defender that you've ever seen?
Ever seen?
This season?
Ever seen.
Ever seen?
Not this season. Like, ever seen. I think that about him. I think I rate Van Dijk so highly. Like, I think about if I was to build a defender, a central defender, I don't think there's anybody better than Van Dijk.
I get what he's trying to say. When it comes to the build up, the physicality and everything, Van Dijk deserves to be
the
merging of Maldini, Beckenbauer, everything he won.
I just think I've not seen a guy better than my guy.
I won't agree with you though, but okay.
Okay, what's good?
What's up? Sorry, my camera is off. I'm driving right now, but yeah, I'll have to disagree with you, Toby, man. I don't think Van Dijk is the best defender. I mean, to be fair, I didn't watch the Maldini and the likes of them, but I assume they were better than Van Dijk. Because
you assume
what?
Nope. If you put Van Dijk in the them 05 era, remember we had lethal strikers. Them 05 eras, them O eras, bro. Them Henry, Didi, bro. The Ingo Lee come now. Like Ingo Lee come, the boy go Lee. Is a good defender, but is he on that level of JT? Is he on that level of Tony Adams? Is he on that level of Sol Campbell? Is he on that level of Cannavaro? Is he on that level? The list is he on that level of
Wait.
Don't take me there. I will go there. You take me there.
because I saw Cannavaro eat grass a couple of times. I've also seen Van Dijk. I've seen Van Dijk eat grass.
Van Dijk, they give everybody yash, man. That guy runs away from tackle, and that was just my thing about Van Dijk. Shadow marking, his shadow, whatever, just too. But my thing is, for the most part, like that Liverpool team where it was like Robertson, Van Dijk, I can't remember with the second centre back. But Shasha, my thing is, most of the time, it was Robertson that used to dive into those tackles, and Van Dijk would be doing his shadow marking. And you could see the difference now where it was Kekes, and Kekes' position was leaking. And like, I guess the age factor also plays into it. Like, he's older, so he's not as sharp or whatnot. But yeah, I just used to feel like Van Dijk used to run away from tackles. And that's why people never dribble past him like so many times. Like that saying of, oh, nobody dribble past Van Dijk. The one time he met, he's not that guy that is in Sociedad, Kubo, Taka something. One Asian guy, like, bro, that guy was playing with him, man. I was like, this is why, bro. Like, you don't be going into tackles. That's why they don't be turning you up and down. But, yeah.
I think Van Dijk's greatest strength for me is at least read the game before the game comes. That's what I'm giving to Van Dijk. But when it comes to, like, the art of defending, like Maldini art of defending, like JT art of defending, like Tony Adams, like Sol Campbell, like Cavao, like Nemanja Vidic. Like the art of defending, like let's go 1v1, like let's intercept the play, let's tackle, like it puts everything in the whole package. It doesn't make these names I'm calling, bro. Like, and I'm not
pure
sure.
Defense, pure defending.
But,
I think Thiago Silva was one of my best I saw.
Oh my God, like Thiago Silva, look at me. Don't kill me.
But it's funny because I think we still view defending as engaging the attacker and making him.
Points.
But like me, I play defense. So, and I think, I don't know if he's actually a real coach, but there was something that Maldini said, where if I have to make a tackle, then then I've already made a mistake.
Mistake here, that's right.
One of the greatest strengths of defenders are the ones who are proactive.
Yeah. But was it just a tackle that he said though? I think he meant like a dangerous tackle, like the ones that Sergio Ramos be doing.
No, you know, where you have to slide tackle.
He actually said if he slides.
Yeah, I thought it was slide tackles.
That means he has misplaced his positioning.
Mm-hmm. But even then, you ask yourself, if you really wanted to go one on one with Van Dijk, can you really beat Van Dijk? Can you beat him for pace? Can you beat him for power? Can you beat him for IQ? So it's like, to me, he's the best proactive defender I've ever seen. Because he's one thing about defending is you have to let the attacker make up their mind. You cannot make up the mind for it because it's instinctive for them. Once they see a leg, they know what to do. The attacker has to make up his mind. I think Van Dijk is the best to ever do that. But then when it comes to the one-on-one matched up with you, I don't know any defender that I would rather pick in that situation over Van Dijk still. I don't think anybody's as strong as him, as physical as him, as fast as him. This one, Gen Z. Like, rewatch 1819, guy. Rewatch 1819, man. I've never seen a defender like that in my life.
1819 was crazy. That would be wrong.
I have never seen a defender like that in my life.
Let's be honest. Maybe JT.
Because I think JT was a lot smarter than people give him credit for. JT was a lot smarter than people give him credit for. But I think Van Dijk is like, man, if I was being a perfect defender, I think I'd be Van Dijk.
I think he's up there. It's a very good argument. I will not say he's...
This is a good argument to have probably a proper episode for, but...
Yeah, real proper SDS podcast like that, yeah.
That's what I wanted to say about... Okay, yeah, so from that game, that just confirmed to me what I was going to point out in the last episode we did, AK, where you were like... about talking about Salah, where I was like, I don't think it's a factor. So what I meant, I don't think I completed my point then, was that I feel like the game has moved, Liverpool has moved on from playing through Salah. I don't think it's that much of a factor anymore. I think this has become more of a versus team. Like, if you watch that Newcastle game, like, most of the play was going through him.
Yep.
And Salah, I think Salah, they are definitely thinking about moving on from him overall. I think, look, he has lost that pace that he was renowned for back in the days. Even though it was very, very underrated for that, his pace has gone, honestly. Because I remember one instance where someone's like played a long ball through to him. Yo, if some, and well, some, talking about pace being gone, 3 PS pace has gone. If you're played through, this guy had yards on 3PS and 3PS caught up with him. I was like, my God, nah, he's gone. Salah is gone. If 3PS can catch up to you, 3PS of today.
Yeah, 3PS, yeah, they are both old men, so.
Flags.
But
what I was gonna say is, yeah, I think your point around like Wirtz being like the central guy now, I think that is key, and I think that also helps AKTK a lot because you could just tell that they have that chemistry, man. Like, the was it the second goal that AKTK scored? Like, Wirtz just put it on the plate and he knew he was going, I think it was the first one, but the way they just is like. Ekitike is becoming more of that, like, they are pure 10 and is able to pick up those positions in the central spaces, and having Wirtz with him just to be able to combine. Sorry, it's Wirtz that is a 10, sorry. And having Ekitike to combine with Wirtz, like, there is some magic that is happening there. And, yeah, that is my greatest fear for Liverpool at this time, to be honest, I think.
I'm glad they played them. I'm very glad they have finished our two Liverpool fixtures.
I mean, when it comes to our Liverpool team, I think that is the reason why me, I'm here, and then the slot is getting paid that much every week. I don't even know. There's a reason why. Because I literally said it here, and I told you guys the last time, like, this is not Salah, and his age. It's not like it's bad. It's just an age. It's the age thing. Salah does not have that speed, like you said. He can't beat it. And if he does not have the speed, he can't beat his man. He can't cut to do that. Is cut and shoot anymore. That first chance he had, remember that this guy caught up to him. He was trying to cut. Mm-hmm. But then he tried it, no deal. You understand? So shout out to Klopp. I mean, to Slot for being bold to switch his back to the 4-3-3 this time to accommodate the team and not Salah, because the game against Bournemouth he played 4-2-2-2 to accommodate Salah, and it didn't work. I still feel that is the best way to put Salah, Sha, because even the 4-3-3 that we saw yesterday, apart from the assist, it was still ineffective. In every he couldn't beat his man, he couldn't run. He tried, at this time he's trying to run to track back, But you can just tell that they're trying to find a way to move past him. And shout out to Florian Wirtz, because I know we all criticized him at the beginning of the season. I think it was 0-0-13 or 0-0-14. I don't even know. You understand? But to be able to, like, you know.
I think it's reasonable.
So,
I know it's reasonable.
You were there to be check the records. You were there. But for real, but to acclimatize to the, like, to the pace and the vigor, the physicality of the league, you know, on and off the ball, taking this, you know, it took a bit of time for him to, like, get used to it. And then now we're seeing the end results now, man. And then Ekitike, like you guys mentioned, man, like, Jesus Christ. This guy is just that baller. Like, he looks lanky, but don't joke with him. Like, when he has that ball on his feet, man, he's just a confidence player, you can tell. Like, he knows when to beat his man, he knows when to shoot, he knows when to stop. Like, he's in control of every situation, that when he has the ball or when he doesn't have the ball. You understand? That's a good one for them, man. And when he scored, they showed Isak. I'm like, you guys are crazy, bro. They showed Isak face when Ekitike scored the first goal. You understand? And I think that would turn into a Wirtz and Ekitike team, barring if Isak can come in and prove himself. But yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think it's Salah last season, if you ask me. And as for Newcastle, man, the pressure is on. The pressure is on Eddie Howe, man. The pressure is literally on. If it doesn't fix up or change something or work on something, this might be his last season, though. I think that trophy he won is still saving him. I don't know how long that will save him, but if it doesn't fix up his away form and they keep going down the drain, I think this will be the last time I've said Newcastle. That's what I think.
All right. Tobi, you got any points?
I agree with that about the Eddie Howe situation. Yes. If he can't get them out, and I think honestly, he has hit the ceiling with this Newcastle team. So I think Newcastle need to hear from a fresh voice, fresh mindset.
Get Amorim.
Get Amorim in, you know what I'm saying? Like, get Amorim in, let him walk his magic. It will take long, but
you know what I actually think? You know what I actually think for them to get? Nothing right to get. Get Antonio Conte. So, because if they get Antonio Conte for that one season. With this, because they still have good players, don't get it twisted. They still have good players. And these players can run. Abby Barnes, Gordon, Visa, Guimaraes. Imagine those guys, Joe Linton, on that, and they'll say run. That would be wicked. For that one, and then in the one season one, that guy, it's be wicked, sha.
Yeah, Antonio Conte will be scary. Scary higher. I can't lie.
I don't, like, it's kind of interesting, because, like, yeah, I get that, but, like, how would the players, like, receive him? Like, you've heard how people feel about him, like, his training methods, how he is. Like, I don't know if the Newcastle players would be like...
See, trust me, what's that about football? If you play football, see, no matter how, even if the set is going bad, the set is going bad, though, but if you're winning your set, how about you will shut up? That's not about football. See, once you're winning, everything just dies down, bro. And one thing Conte will give you, that one season, you will get a trophy. You will get that trophy. See that first season? The second one, I don't know. It's between him and God, though, that will tell us that why every time.
I don't know.
It's always failing. But that first season, it will stretch the players to the max, and they'll give him what they want. So that's why I feel like Conte is the perfect guy for them, for one season only.
But even then, I would say, like, how important is a trophy, really? Like, if I know that for the second year, I can't guarantee that this guy will win. Like, how important is that, right? It's like, sometimes I feel like football gets so deterministic, and we have to win at the end of the day.
Eddie Howe has a trophy.
Like, Eddie Howe has a trophy, but has he been doing better than Arteta?
Except the trophy is the league, yeah, which I don't know if Anthony Conte can carry Newcastle to.
I don't think I can do it with the coin. Then again, though, if Pep leaves, I think he opens up the league for everybody that wants to win the league.
Anyway, let's move on to
before Pep should leave. Please realize who he is. Pep, you are Pep. You are the only one that can save us before you leave.
You can move on. I went at Water Club when Club was leaving Liverpool. Anyway, is there any chance? Those two.
Move on, bro.
Anyway, Chelsea, West Ham.
Why no call Arsenal? Why no collapse?
My failed.
We talk about Chelsea last.
This one pay me specially because of this AK guy. It pay me special, bro. Somerville, Bowie, West Ham had these guys on the ropes, man. On the ropes that first half, they are like almost. Chelsea was almost like Tottenham because I don't know what the hell they were playing. West Ham was dominating that first half. Like, bro, I did not. Okay, let me not lie. I kind of knew that second half would be tough, given what Chelsea has shown us so far this season. Anyway, I knew they'll come out stronger. I need to make subs and they will become stronger. But that first half, they looked so bad. And West Ham looked much better than I've seen them this season. Apparently, they've been better recently, but I haven't watched them, if I'm being honest. But this game, they were good. Some of you looked like the revelation. I mean, I knew he had talent in his previous club, but he looked up for it today. Bowen as well, even though that his goal has some element of luck to it. But that was him. He was playing very, very well. Second half, the big boys came in. Yao Pedro, what's this guy again? Who is this other guy? Cucurella came in. Game changed like this. I was like, what is this rubbish? I just saw it coming. I had so much drafts. I was like, you know what? I started
the league. Started the league draft.
2-1, Yao Pedro. Who scored the first goal? Was it Yao Pedro?
Pedro first goal, yeah.
Yeah. Cucurella was already crossing from the left and we are missing it. I was like, nah, these guys are going to equalize. They're going to equalize. And yeah, they eventually equalized. I was now praying, I guess it'll just be 2-2. These idiots come and assist again. And it's Enzo. And the person I don't want to score himself, Enzo.
All right.
Enzo scored.
Best team in the world.
All right. All
right. Best in the world.
Yo, I saw a lot of people going talking about Liam. Oh my gosh, his substitutions, bro. What the fuck was he supposed to do? We just watch them and they will kill them.
No.
that first eleven that I saw that stuff, I was like, yo, what kind of first? I miss Seth. If I was the first one, I'm like, which kind? I understand that Napoli game maybe took a lot out of the first team and everything, so he had to rotate and whatnot. But at least just start Joao Pedro now, like, you know. Anybody could tell that the lab no go do anything for this match anyway. So like that starting 11 was not good. It was not good. I think it was a very poor first team. Even though I understand, so maybe the board should spend more money and actually give him a stronger team, because that second squad is bad. They cannot do it. I would not even go as far as say they have potential. I think that you put starting 11 is a bad team. Honestly, I don't think they have any hope. I don't think Premier League is for them. They need Delap, honestly, I'll be very, very surprised if Delap becomes a great striker in the future. I'll be very surprised at this point from what I've been seeing from him in Chelsea. Maybe at some point he'll get it. Who remembers the Kitike in PSG?
No, I don't remember.
He was very, very young when he went to PSG. He failed. He was not good. I watched him a couple of times with Neymar and God. I wish which kind of rubbish it is. But you could even tell. Tell he had some individual talents, you know. So I'm not surprised what he's doing today. But Delap, on the other hand, I won't lie. I look this guy somehow. I don't know. I don't know about him, if I'm being honest. And Gittins. The less said about Gittins, the better. We all know Garnacho. Garnacho.
Thanks again, Akam. Thanks again.
No, he's Garnacho. He will have some moments, but nah, bro. You all need to. You want to spend more money. If you spend more money, I'll laugh at you people.
You know what I like?
Spend
I like
more it. Money after how much you spent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I like United? I like United because, man, they know how to do business very, very well. So that's what but very bro, soon. This transfer.
You give us Kopama. You give us Kopama.
Kopama is that person. Kopama. I don't even know. Is Kopama fit? Abi is not fit because Baba is not.
I think they're taking the team away from him. You know, like when he was doing well, the team was centered around what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But now it feels like they're kind of diversifying who gets to run the team. Yeah, exactly. So it's like I don't know how much he likes that. But that would be an interesting development.
But what I'm gonna say, yeah, the subs he made, the subs he's been making, yeah, they've been working. But even me would have made those subs. Okay, maybe I'll give him timing. He timed the subs well, but like those were obvious subs to make, in my opinion. So I wouldn't say, oh my god, that was a tactical
whatever masterclass he pulled there. It was pretty obvious. The first team is bad. He himself, he knows it. In his press conference, he was like, yeah, no energy, blah, 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 blah. He spoke really well. I'll give him that. But I wouldn't say it was some Unai Emery made tactical switch or whatever. I don't think the
first team by the bad. By the power vested in me, I think I have to go through. It's okay. It is okay. It's okay. When you just ask my own, talk your tongue, talk your own like that. Yes. No. No, you guys.
Like all these late, all these 9 minutes win, you can't keep getting away with it. You guys are a big club, man. Like going to West Ham and getting hammered that way, man. I feel you guys are just lucky, but kudos to Chelsea. You guys came back up.
It's Bassi I blame. It's Bassi I blame. Okay, this thing you are saying that like, this is Bassi I effing blame. All that you are saying is it's all on Bassi. This Sunday is Bassi responsible. But
I already told you, Shai, that game, Bowen and Somerville had goals on you. And I mean, I didn't carry Bowen, but kudos to João Pedro, Shai. It looks like I'll have to go and pick João Pedro, like back in, I don't know, my FPL. But
close.
Anyway, AK, you want to go? Are your boys?
I think what I have to start by saying is, kudos to all of us. We all agree that Somerville is going to score and Bowen will have an impact also, because these are the only two guys that have an impact in this West Ham team. You understand? And secondly, let me correct you there, five aside. My coach, Liam Rosenior, came out to say that second half was not about tactics. In the FC, when TNT interviewed him, he said the same thing. When Sky Sports interviewed him, he said the same thing. When NBCSN intervened, he said the same thing too. He said that second half is not about tactics, man. It's all about how you psych up. It's about how you psych up the players. Because obviously, this is like his seventh match. It's not even up to 2 months with this team. He's just trying to understand the team. So obviously, he's going to have to rotate. Chelsea fans, we should know this and know peace. Secondly, we just played a game. They might know how big that game against Napoli was. You're going to Naples, a must-win game for both teams. You go there, you win there, and then you come back to play a derby game. It's a derby game against West Ham. And then we have Arsenal in our mind on Tuesday. You have to rotate the team. You have to understand and know your team. So I don't fault him for going for that first half with those players. You understand? And also, credit to him for now. He knows that, okay, Gittins, Garnacho, okay, question mark on them. Let's see. And, you know, he's a politician. So I feel like, and I want to dive out now, with PDP having crisis in Nigeria, if they can collect this Rosinio as their presidential candidate, is over for Tinubu. Let me just put that out there. Because the way this man talks, but he didn't come out and say Garnacho and Gittins are the problem. You know what this man said? He said, no, we needed more energy. These are good players. And more, you know, we needed a little bit more. That's him trying to say, diabetes. 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 You understand? And it's not just how you make the sub, but the timing of the subs. You know, it felt that, you know, it took, and we were playing, was it old school, is it three at the back we're trying to play again with Badiashile and Trevor. You understand? And then Hato was trying to invert in the midfield the first half. And it wasn't working because Garnacho was not doing anything useful. You understand? And it wasn't working at all. So second half, it took a little bit. It went back to the old school cultural 4-4-2. Palmer having pockets now. And then João Pedro dropping deep to support the lap. You cannot tell me that's not tactics right there. That's tactical. That's not just motivation right there. You understand? Looking the key players to support, to help the team. You feel me? Yeah. And also, shout out to Cucurella, man. Because Cucurella's second goal, I think... is how bad you want it. There's you need to have that mental shift between a good player and a world-class player. That second goal is just the reason why I tell people, listen, Cucurella is the best left-back in the league. And I know why I say this, not because I'm a Chelsea fan. Look at the space, the distance between Cucurella and that guy. What's that goal again? If it's based on body physics, right, Cucurella should not meet that guy in nodding that goal, because that guy was ahead of Cucurella. And the ball was coming from the air. That's just that how bad you want it. That's mental strength right there. You understand? And then Enzo coming in to score. the best tattoo in the world. I think he has more goals than Declan Rice. And
the best tattoo in the world.
He has the best tattoo in the world now. You get tattoo. You don't get tattoo.
He's Chelsea fan. Nice. You get tattoo.
He said you get tattoo.
You understand?
Yeah.
My point is, we are not just seeing a coach that likes, that knows how to talk. But this guy has something upstairs. That's what I'm trying to say in this game. He has something upstairs. Like the way he talks, his formation, is the way he brings in the players, the way he speaks to the player. Like, bro, I'm not talking about Carrick at United also. The way you talk to players also matters. Even in human management, even at your job. There's a way your boss will text you that, I'm all, I need you, man. Without you, I can't. You understand? Like, you'll be psyched up to work for the boss. You understand? I feel like what this guy has been doing very well. And he said, listen, we're not doing a lot of training on the pitch because we don't have time. But what we need to do is, as a big team, we need to win. Yes, I don't have time. Yes, I don't know the players that well. Yes, I have an open door policy where I want the players to be very, very vulnerable to come and talk to me. But despite all this, one thing for us, we need to win. And like I keep telling you, if you keep winning games, the players will trust whatever you tell them, and the fans will believe you. So it's a good one for us. It's a good 3 points. And any agenda you want to agenda, 5 aside to me, to not work. So don't give me any other agenda. I could have made that sub too. You reach your song, go and make it.
That's right. Even though I feel like West Ham mind is a bastard, that Max Tillman sub. That Max Tillman sub really entered that pitch. I know say don't is raps. And he was raps at that point. Now why I know support Daniel when they say calm down, because I know so that $50 really bet. Daniel for lose that money. Me like some Max Tillman in that pitch. I'm like, nah, it's okay.
Bro, the way that game was going, 2-2. It's 80 something minutes, Stamford Bridge.
I hate when you see a small team that was already open during the match, that mental adjustment to now start playing defensively again almost never works. You've already been open anyway. If you start trying to sit back, they always punish you. That's why I hate that. I hate watching that. I just need to happen. But anyway,
I don't hate when big teams do that. Small teams do that as well. I really do. What were you saying?
You have any takes on the game?
On the game?
On the Chelsea game.
Well, West Ham are actually pretty difficult to play against. You were bullying my manager when they have West Ham are actually pretty difficult. Everybody in this league can play ball. Arsenal needed a dying minute.
I give you that one.
At home. So let's. These guys, these boys one. Can yes. play. Everybody can play. Everybody can play. But I like Chelsea, though. I like that. It shows their fighting spirit. And I love Cucurella, man. I love Cucurella. Jesus Christ. After Nuno Mendes, to me, he's the next guy. I feel like more people see him as a gimmick now.
Best left back,
defensively,
man. Cucurella.
Offensively, he's really, really good. Really, really good. Very high IQ. Very physical. I like him, sure.
Yeah. Okay, what about you? Are you?
I mean, really, for that game, I think I was rooting for West Ham to win. Seeing that 2-0 lead in the first half, I was excited.
Why would you lose for West Ham? I was rooting for Mr. Ruta.
I mean, it's just what Chelsea does. It's not even a West Ham thing. It's just a Chelsea thing, really. But you know, coming to seeing Chelsea fight back, like. I give you guys that. You guys have that fighting spirit. But at the end of the day, like I said, like you can't be losing 2-0 down to a West Ham team and saying you want to be among the big boys. You know, West Ham is one of those teams. They are difficult to play. But like I think that should still be a more straightforward game than it was for Chelsea at this time. And yeah, I just like to see more from Chelsea. But overall, I guess you guys are not really... like in the title race or anything. So good win, good 3 points for you. You know, we'll see on Tuesday where it does matter.
No. Let's get one thing straight. If you watch that first half, it's not simple. We were not bad that first half. It was just in my way. Think about it. Bowen's goal was a mistake goal. Yes, it was a mistake because when that cross came in. Sanchez was thinking that one of the West Ham players will hit it, so go to the other side. That's a mistake goal. Apart from Somerville's goal, but what does they really do in that first half? Yeah, they had a bit of more energy than us, but what does they really do in that first half? Nothing else, really. That's how it was easy for us to come back second half.
They were the better team that first half quite easily.
Better team, but don't make it sound like we were like pack of Sunday league players on that day. No, we were not. You understand? So, Mr. Okpe coming out to talk as if this thing or this one. Nah, bro. You are even talking. Wow, what is your priority in this season? Let me start with you this season.
It's our priority. Our priority is winning as many trophies as we can. So that's what we're going for. And that has always been the plan from the start. I can't say the same for Chelsea though, but you know, I don't know what you guys are going for really. You guys are world champions, okay?
Every trophy that you're fighting for, mathematically speaking, I'm fighting for it too. Yes. That's fact.
Chelsea in title race.
That's fact.
Title race. We can say you're fighting for Carabao or something, but with title race.
Baba, yesterday that Liverpool played, they still call him defending champions. They didn't call up on defending champion. Not there, yes, bro. Relax. You guys should be humble, man. Be humble,
okay,
eh?
Now.
In the words of Alan, be humble, eh?
Okay, now. I'm
still the FA Cup with you. I'm still the Carabao Cup with you. Apparently, you haven't even won it yet. It's 6 points between you and Guardiola. Just 2 games. You have not played me. Be humble.
Last. Okay, now no, Lele. Let's move on.
Anyway, let's move on to Arsenal's game. Hey, anyway, for this game, I ain't got much to say to be honest. I think we played really well. I like the confidence and the swagger. Leeds tried to make the game a very physical game, but you can't really match us physically, especially if we're up for it. Arsenal came out well, physically dominant. Madueke had probably his best game in an Arsenal shirt for me. Timba looked like Timba of earlier in the season. He locked up that right-hand side, even though that's where Leeds kept trying to make inways in the attack. They kept going for that left-hand side. Let's say they don't know say Timba's a big play, but they kept going for Timba's wing. But he matched up to the challenge. And Havertz playing as a number 10. He looked decent. Gyökeres looks sharper. I think he's gaining more confidence, probably because of the Champions League performance. But he played really well on Saturday. On the left, who was our left winger safe again? Was it Trossard? It was Trossard, yeah.
I didn't really see much of
Trossard. But all in all, our defense played well. Everybody played well. Second half, we scored two set pieces. Everybody was making noise about scoring set pieces. Second half, we gave them open play goals to make them calm down, you know, just to settle the haters. We gave them 2 open play goals. There is that. This was a statement win, because if you watch the season, Leeds have been such a challenge for all the top clubs. I know that the Man City club, that was a 3-2. They beat my friend here, Chelsea. They've been a tough. Elan Road has been a tough place to go to for the most part. This is for everybody else.
And I miss United.
Not to go there.
But I miss United, though. I don't wonder. They're going to even talk. You just smile. I don't wonder. They miss United.
Now that day they sacked my manager.
Well, yeah, for us not to go there and put their foot down and make it and win 4-0. I think that was a statement win. Even though it just leads, but I think that was a statement win, actually. I like that Odegaard was benched. I think that bench was necessary. Second half, he came in, he looked better, even though I think the game has calmed down. But he played pretty well, gave the assist to Jesus, even though that's a folding type of assist laid on the plate. Jesus did most of the work. Beautiful goal. That goal Gyökeres scored, that was a striker's goal. That's why I want to see more of him. I know he came off with Shane, but that kind of movement is what I want to see more from him. And shout out to Madueke. Played really well. But yeah, that's it for me, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's not about... I won't forget.
Statement win. 2 set piece. 1 goal. I had no scrap for Arsenal now, and his own goal, I'm correct. And that's what caused Statement's win.
What do you mean? It was one set piece, one on goal, two regular goals.
So what was okay? So like set piece. So everybody said it. Look at the goal you guys scored. Look at the goal you guys scored.
Beautiful goals. Four beautiful goals. Four beautiful goals.
I'm so happy that. I don't know. See, I do not speak English like that though, but I know what beautiful means, bro. And that's not beautiful. I know what beautiful means, bro. And that cannot be beautiful.
Wait. Jesus is good.
What did you say?
Jesus' goal is beautiful, bro.
Apart from
Jesus' goal is beautiful.
I give you Jesus. I give you Gyökeres. You made a very good point. That's a striker's goal. That's a proper top striker's goal for Gyökeres. And that's a Jesus. Jesus.
Let me correct you. That wasn't an own goal. That was a Madueke goal. That was Madueke's goal.
How about it was deemed own goal? Are you drunk?
You gotta look it up. They gave the goal to Madueke.
Shut up. Stupid FA. Drunk FA. Chat, bro, I trust. You know, I like Madueke. You know, I like Madueke. You know, it's fine. You know, now one in 15. So now we don't give that 7.5. Listen, now for the next 15 matches, you know, go play anything again. You know.
He needs to play because Saka is injured. So
oh yeah, that's my only take on it. It was the news on Saka, man.
I'm not sure yet, but I mean he limped up. I think it might be a waist or a groin issue. So I'm hoping it's just 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I don't think it's not a hamstring for sure. So
he won't play on Tuesday. So he won't play on Tuesday.
Probably not. He won't.
I'm not scared. I'm just asking. Not that I'm scared. I'm just you know it's Black History Month, so I'm just concerned about my fellow black brother.
So do you have any takes on that? I think our personal network is acting up.
Yes, I very much agree that it is a statement, because actually thinking about it now, Liverpool did not win at Ellen Road. We didn't win at Ellen Road. Chelsea didn't win at Ellen. I don't know if you guys just wanted the lost at Ellen Road. So it's that to go there and win 4-0, however you got it, very big. But then again, nothing has changed from how I've thought about Arsenal. People think that it's just about set pieces. Arsenal can beat you any which way. I think where the league is going is just how they are adapting to where the league is going. But when you see them in Europe, when the game is open and start to play ball, these guys are still better than anybody else. So I think it just reminded everybody after their run of form that they are still number one in this league.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
but Saka, that worry about Saka though. I feel like Saka has something degenerative, because he doesn't. No matter how much time he takes off to rehab or how much time he takes off to let the injury heal, he seems to always be dealing with the same nicks. So I worry about the longevity of that guy.
I really hope they can work on him because of the World Cup. I really hope they can really get him right and ready for the World Cup is literally here in just less than 2-3 months, man. So I'm really worried. But yeah, I was just dreaming banters on Arsenal, man. You understand that?
Yeah, of course, as you should.
But it's also we knew they were going to win that. Arsenal doesn't have an issue in Elland Road. I'm the one that have an Elland Road problem. You lost because you're not good enough to play them. Me, I have an historic problem with Elland Road. Me and Elland Road from the 90s. I have it. Huh?
Who lost? We didn't lose.
You lost them. You didn't lose them.
Didn't we draw? We draw now. We drew.
We know they
lose us for the same side where you did. We know they like you. We know they like you.
Oh, yeah, forgive my English. But anyway, I gotta get my facts right, man. But they're a good team. They're a good team. You understand? Like, but I just feel like we know they're gonna win. The players look at player quality leads to Arsenal. We know they're gonna win regardless. You know, but that's all I gotta say. Just another random 3 points for them.
How disrespectful! Was coming out there and saying that nonsense that he said. That was so disrespectful. That he must not win the league. if Arsenal win the league, they'd be the worst team to win the league in league history. That this is one is not true, because I've seen enough United teams that were really bad and we still won the league. Two, he's not watching the games. I know he's not watching the games.
He's not watching the games.
But today, I can't stand schools right now. Who is competing? Who is challenging Arsenal?
Only Arsenal is challenging Arsenal, bro.
That's true for so many league titles, though.
Yeah, that's true for so many league titles, guys.
That one challenging them.
That's true for so many league titles.
Liverpool won last season without being challenged. Like, it happens a lot. So that his point to me is a non point.
When you won in 4-0-4 with Mourinho,
100 points.
Who was challenging you? Nobody was there.
Cannot challenge that. John Terry and Carvalho will be the Chris. Come and challenge that. I had a young Ruben. No. I had a Firmino Lampard. A Firmino Didi. You cannot even score.
How did you guys only concede 15 goals? Bro, like, I still think about, like, that is
crazy. Kraga said, when it was time to play Chelsea, it's not a matter of, are we going to win? Are we going to score? They're like, we know we can win. We know we can win. But can we score? that was a real question before they played Chelsea.
Can we score? Like, literally, guy.
Bro, I had Terry, Carvalho. You understand? And I want to just put one thing out there, man. I thank God you said that. I know we're wrapping up five aside. Because I tell Chelsea fans, I'm like, listen, we have a good first 11. But then our squad is not ready yet to compete for the title or, you know, challenge anybody yet. You understand? And I'm so happy you said that as yourself, man. Because when I say that, like, I'm speaking French. Because if you think about it, man, if you look at Sanchez, has actually come up to be like a very top keeper for now. You know, Fofana and his feet, Rhys James, Chalobah, Cucurella, Enzo, Caicedo, Palmer and his feet. I mean, even on FIFA, Palmer is better than some of the players. So Palmer, Pedro Neto is strange, given that form. Pedro Neto, just, I'll say 8-9 players are like quality. But the rest, like, you can just say that just Premier League level mid players like Garnacho, Gittins. I think Hato, with time, Hato will come up, will give us that vibe we want from him. But Chelsea being Chelsea, we're not a waiting club, we're not a patience club. We want it now. So it's on the board. But let's see what the board does, man. Even though we know that they'll still keep buying during that 17, 18, 9 policy. Let's see, man.
Anyway. That's true. I agree with you, all your points on that Chelsea issue. But, like I said before in the previous pod, when I actually thought we would slip up, if we were going to slip up, I don't think we will. We would have been at the point. Because you notice every season when we fall off, we always have three bad games. I think that those three bad games just went by and City couldn't capitalize. To me, like I said, after that Man U match, this Leeds match, I was waiting to see how we respond. Because if City did not usurp us during that three game period where we were so bad, I don't see that happening again. That was just it. That's why I'm more confident now. But anyway, so who's been our best player for the week, for this weekend? I'll go first. Because I never don't go first. You guys will see my own. I'll say AKTK is my favorite player for the weekend.
Yes.
What about you guys?
I'm gonna go Madueke. I was very surprised that he was that. Yeah, I'll go Madueke.
For me, I will go for Konate, because I just feel like to play in that condition, he literally said that, and it's not told him that he can take as much time as he wants. He lost his dad, Amadi, RIP to his dad, and in that state of the Liverpool state at that time. You know, they lost Gomez, they lost Frimpong. Van Dijk was not the Van Dijk like he used to know. Even the Konate is having a bad season. He knows that. The team is not playing well. And that going against a hungry-looking Newcastle side, I want to make a point. I want to just, you know, have a good performance that yesterday. I just feel like Konate had his best game in Liverpool jersey. Him being on point, him being solid, you understand? Like, and then scoring the goal again to count it all up for him. I think it was my best performer this weekend. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like he was spot on. Every tackle, I don't know if it was an emotional thing that just drove him to play like that. You know, he got every tackle correctly. He won every duel. He was just that guy. You know, with the new morning haircut. You know, and then after scoring him, the tears was coming out. You know, it was just a proper Hollywood, even though it's a real life thing, kind of performance. And I know Madueke, yes, I give it to Madueke, had a good game. Despite the way it was being trolled, social media, you know, Ekitike, yes, wonderful, but Konate for me was just that guy for me, man.
Yeah, I think football has a way of bringing out these beautiful moments sometimes.
It does. Look at Frank Lampard when he lost his mom. When he scored that Champions League when he lost his mom. So
that was the worst one.
Remember Diaz when they kidnapped his dad, all of that. So.
Luis Diaz, right? Yeah. It's been a fun convo, guys.
You guys keep watching, subscribing. So Soccer Takes with AK and Five Aside, and we'll keep up the hard work. Sure. You know, we'll keep doing this for you. This is something we love doing, 100%. And you guys,
oh God, so you can. Oh God, we'll see. Guys, we'll be here again on Tuesday. Stay tuned on Tuesday, man. This one is doing giving you guys Bible verse. It's no enter. We're going for a war on Tuesday. Soccer Takes with AK and Five Aside. We're going again. Just gonna beat us now, guys. Stay locked, stay tuned. Thank you for
You beat us now.
Huh?
You say you beat us now. On Tuesday.
The stadium. Yes, are you? Duh. The last is different.
All right.
That's
yeah, you guys keep watching. Unless let's see if his dream comes true. You know, sometimes dreams come true. Most times they really don't. They are just dreams. But it's been nice.
It's been fun, bro. Peace out, man. Bless.